Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, this show is going to help you question your career reality. This show is for you if you are considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests will provide you with advice on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests include Emmy winners, Grammy winners, Tony winners, reality stars, producers, directors, actors, singers, casting directors, talent agents, managers, script writers. Oh my Lord, the list goes on and on. You just have to listen to the show. I've been on 8 years, so go to the website and you will see all of the guests. And if they're working professionally in show business, we're going to have them on the show to give you great entertainment career advice. And we make sure that our guests work at various stages of their careers, from professional to beginner. So that means that we will definitely have someone on the show who will be able to help you with your show business career questions. Now, you can listen to any of the past shows, as I said, by going to our archive page on LA Talk Radio, latalkradio.com. Just go to the channel link, drop down box appears, click this show, Question Reality, and it'll take you directly to our archive page. And our shows are also available to listen to. They're on iTunes and on Stitcher.com. So just go to those websites and type Question Reality in the box. Now, if you want to find out about our future guests, as you know, we're booked 6 months to a year in advance. So you have to go to the official Question Reality website, and that address is questionrealityradioshow.com. questionrealityradioshow.com. And we're booking for January, so go there now and put in your request. I also encourage you to download our free app for your Android or iPhone to be able to listen to all of our other exciting programs. We have a ton of programs. You feeling a little cray-cray? We got a psychologist to take care of that. You feeling like you can't, like, you know, you're having a little trouble in the B room? There is a sexologist. We got you hooked up. Doesn't matter. Whatever problem you have, and if you're in Hollywood, you got some problems, listen to LA Talk Radio. We got everybody. All your needs. So go to that LA Talk Radio website, download the app, and you will be able to see all of the guests. Okay, now, I am getting emails because this man, not only is he sexy and hot and delicious and yummy, as the emails have been coming in, not necessarily my words, but the words of these people. He is on today, and everybody's starting. Yeah, Larry, you are too. But we are talking about, let's bring this microphone right up to Carmen first. We are going to, it is the one and only Carmen Argenziano. Woo! Argenziano! I knew I was going to mess that one up. Woo! Now, Carmen, as everyone in the world knows, if you have a television or you've gone to the movie, you know about Carmen. But if you don't, I'm going to tell you a little bit. He is born in Sharon, Pennsylvania. I hope this is correct because I got it off Wikipedia. All right, so you know how that's like iffy, iffy, iffy. But he is one of my neighbors because I'm from Connecticut. Uh-huh. So we're kind of neighbors. And one of Carmen's best known roles was from the recurring character Jacob Carter, a.k.a. also Selmac, in the hit television series Stargate SG-1. Now, I'm going to just tell you, he has a credit list that's longer than John Gotti's rap sheet. So I cannot possibly go over everything, but you'll have to go to imdb.com. mom, but we'll start with my mother's favorite. She is just, I don't know what she's doing on the other end of this microphone, because she was obsessed with Carmen from The Young and the Restless. Wow. Yes, he was on The Young and the Restless. She's like, oh my God, he's on. Calm down. She thinks that you, Carmen, are the second coming of Elvis in her mind. That is it. He was also on CSI New York, House, which we know, House MD, yes. Criminal Minds, The Godfather, Swordfish, Angels and Demons, and so on and so on. Again, go to imdb.com and type them in, and you might as well just take a cigarette and a coffee, because the list just goes on, as I said, on and on. So check it out. He is also a lifetime member of the Actors Studio and was awarded the Los Angeles Drama Critics Circle Award for his performance as Jack DeLisante in Thomas Babes, A Prayer for My Daughter. So, without further ado, let's just say hello. Let's just say hello, Carmen. We're going to come back to you.
Hi, Lucille. How are you?
Hey! We're going to push this a little further, because we want to get your yummy voice on. Yes, let's put it a little further. Bring Carmen a little closer.
A little closer.
Who doesn't want you closer to them? You know, okay. You've heard that a million times.
Oh, yeah.
Closer, Carmen, closer.
Wow. This is really close.
Yes. Albert, why don't you turn that up a little bit so we can hear our voices? This little box here. I don't know what it does. Oh, yeah, I like that. Can you hear yourself better now, Carmen?
Whoa.
Yeah, I like that.
Woo!
Now, yes. Oh, what did you call me? Oh, people call me.
I was calling you Benny King's guitar. I was calling. Lucille was Benny King's guitar, and I love
that. That's
Benny
okay.
King. But it's
on a Friday night after midnight with a mask. I could be Lucille for you. We could work it out. It's all right. Now, also, we have one of our favorite celebrity actresses back on the show today. Who is it? Eileen Gruba. Woo! Yeah! Yeah, you know we love Eileen Gruba. We mention her all the time. You don't even know how many times we talk about you.
Thank you.
Now, Eileen Gruba, if you have not listened to the show before, she is a lifetime member of the world-renowned Actors Studio and trains with Martin Landau, Barbara Bain, and famed acting coach Alan Miller, who also coached Barbara Streisand, Dustin Hoffman, and Meryl Streep, just to name a few. And Eileen has performed in theater, independent films, and television. And some of her credits cross with Carmen. So see, Criminal Minds. She's been on Bench, Bones, Sons of Anarchy, CSI Miami, The Mentalist, Cold Case, Nip Tuck, The Closer, ER, and Monk. And again, another rap sheet situation we got here. Go and check her out on IMBN. Oh, wait a minute. She was on The Young and the Restless, too. Yeah, we got to ask if you guys met on there. Now, Eileen has just completed a film with Carmen.
Yay.
And it's called Aurora. Woo-hoo. And oh my God, we got to talk about this. We have the director here. This guy, I'm looking at him with my left eye, and this is a hottie up in here. First hottie director I've had. And his name is Robert Kuba. Am I pronouncing that right? Robert Kuba. Yeah. Say hi, Robert Kuba. Come on up close to that. Close that microphone. You're young. You can stretch that little hot body up on the microphone. Robert, I just... But we're going to talk to him. But I just was made aware somewhere doing research on him that Aurora has just gotten 6.5 million views. Give me an applause on that one. Wow.
The trailer.
Wow.
The trailer. The movie hasn't come out yet.
Oh, Carmen's calling me Lucille, and I'm saying it's a movie already. The trailer.
It's not out yet.
You think we were all drunk up in here, right, Carmen? I know I hit the wild turkey before, but what the hell are these? What's Carmen on? Right, so Robert Kuba, I'm telling you, this guy is so young, and he is the founder of Vontus Pictures Limited. It's an independent film production company, and their filmmaking goal, from what I understand, is to try to create compelling stories that will inspire and encourage us for the future. So, Robert, in my opinion, based on the two trailers that I saw, which Eileen was in when you were just the young little hot age of 18, The Rift, and seeing the trailer from Aurora, in my opinion, you are going to be up there in the standing with Michael Bay and J.J. Abrams. Give me an applause on that. Give me an applause on that.
It's for sure.
Yes. I'm telling you right now. Now, Robert has been, I'm telling you, I have always said in this day and age, if you have not made your first album or gotten your first Oscar, when you get out of the womb, you're behind, right? That's what's happening. Now, Robert was a little late. He started making films at age 10, so he's got to catch up, right? He has been winning festival awards since age of 12, and again, he is putting the final touches right now on Aurora. Welcome, Robert. Say hi to your fans.
Hey.
Oh,
he's a man of few words.
He is, well, the best looking ones can be a man of few words. We don't need him to talk. We just need him to look good and be talented in many ways in which directing is yours that I know of. Maybe more to find out later, but we'll talk. You are from Switzerland.
Yes, I am.
How exciting. Oh, just to know he's from Switzerland is enough to drive the girls wild. Wow. Wonderful. Wow. Now, lastly, we're going to get back to my darling Robert. Lastly, we have Star Trek expert and our co-host for the day, Mr. Larry Nemechek. Is it Larry? Is it Nemechek or Nemesek?
It still is.
Okay, I can say it either way. Okay. He is the author, editor, interviewer, archivist, host, producer, actor, and we call him Larry Dr. Trek Nemechek. He has a background in news and theater, but it is Trekland where he's worked for over 20 years, and he wrote the classic Next Generation Companion and the new Stellar Cartography map book set. He worked on the storied Star Trek The Experience in Las Vegas and world tours. He long has been editing the Communicator magazine, where in Star Trek Mag Today, and played Dr. McCoy in two episodes of the Geeky Award-winning Star Trek Continues Online, and his Trekland blog of vid chats and Trekland on speaker remastered interviewed CDs bridge the Star Trek old and new. And as his documentary project, the 1982 Meltdown Turn Miracle, Con of Wrath. Woo! A convention. He's also a convention guest worldwide, and Larry now helps other projects too, like the new, very exciting if you guys don't know about it, Enterprise in Space, which is a student sci-fi homage space orbiter, and he is here to talk about all things sci-fi in the realm with Mr. Carmen, because that is not my bag. I can't talk. I said, oh God, I gotta impress Carmen, I gotta bring Larry Nemechek on. So welcome, you guys, everybody. Where's my applause?
You impress me how you keep all that memorized.
Far from it. That's why my dream of being a sitcom actress passed me by. I can't remember lines. Oh, my Lord. I don't know how actors remember those damn lines. Oh, I just started. As a matter of fact, I just started Mary Lou Bella. You know, she just won her second Emmy. She was on the show a couple of weeks ago, and she talked me into joining her class.
Nice.
And we had our first class on Saturday. I was terrified. Carmen.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. I don't know how you guys do it. I was like, I had the paper up here, and I'm doing my lines. I just said, But apparently, Albert heard some good things about me. So we might be pursuing the sitcom. My dream.
A natural born performer. Priscilla? Yes.
Go on. But my dream is to be on a show like Oh, the Golden Girls.
Oh my God,
that would be too much. I would love to be either be author Maude or Rose McClanahan. Oh, either one, it worked for me. Be Arthur. Mm-hmm. Now, you guys, all of you, thank you so much for being here. Let's talk first to our favorite Stargate SG-1 character, Carmen. Let's talk about Aurora first.
Yeah.
Who is your character? What is your character? Who is your character? What do you feel the film is about with respect to your role?
Oh, God.
Robert, just stop him if he goes too far.
Yes!
Since we can't reveal the storyline, can we?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Hasn't opened yet.
Yeah. Okay, we can at least say your character.
Oh, my character's name is Damian Walsh, and he foresees a change on the planet and what humankind is doing to the planet, this 7-8 billion peoples that inhabit this planet right now, and the possibility of, you know, we were talking about global warming and this and that. Is mankind responsible for all this havoc, all these, God knows, droughts and tornadoes and fracking? And it's a message about the world from a young man's point of view, from Robert Kuba, who's amazingly versed on, Joseph Campbell, this, that. This man he's a scholar and he's smart and he's a, it was very exciting. Eileen and I were in the Czech Republic in Prague.
And Switzerland. Ooh. And Zurich.
And then we went to Zurich, Switzerland. It was all quite amazing and romantic. And Prague, the Czech Republic, the amazing history and the ruins where we shot at. And Robert's amazing knowledge of camera and what we did for a very limited budget, what he created, and the amazing CGI in this film. It's really very sophisticated, very rich, and it was such a pleasure having this experience. It was 2 years ago now.
So. Wow, 2 years ago.
Because of all the sci-fi and special effects, a lot of the film was made in post.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Robert spent a year and a half, 16 hours a day, in front of a computer.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, in post-production or whatever. And it was just an amazing challenge, and creatively, it's Robert's raison d'etre. He loves making films. He's like young Steven Spielberg. He just can't help it. He thrives on it, and he's pretty amazing.
And he's shy, so he's blushing now.
you better begin amped up, because I'm coming for you a little later, Robert.
Seriously, if you see that trailer and you hear it described as an indie, you're just blown away.
Right.
It reminds you where the technology is today.
Right.
Yeah.
And indie films like the Star Trek Continues I'm involved with. But this is amped up to where you'd be thrilled to sit down at any huge screen.
Oh, my God. It's so exciting. As well as the other trailer that I watched, the one that Eileen Gruba was in when you were just 18, Robert, The Rift. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. I just can't believe that you can do that. But
he does it all, too.
Not everybody who calls himself a director could do what he did.
Exactly. Most people that call themselves a director could not do what he does.
Could not do that. No. I mean, so much is done, and we're going to talk to Robert about that. So much is done in post-production, and it really seals the deal. The choices that are made in post-production will determine, I think, the film and the status level that the film reaches.
Yes, true.
I really do believe that. Now, let's talk about some of the other projects, Carmen, that you recently are working on. I understand The Mob, A Woman's Revenge. You've got The Elephant Ride, Dark Man, Actors Anonymous.
Oh, yeah.
And Don Quixote, The Ingenious Gentleman of La Mancha. And you're with James Franco in that movie.
Right.
Yeah.
James was one of the producers, and it was really exciting because on the call sheet, my name was first, and James is like, what?
I've
arrived.
He's arrived.
Yeah, even on the IMDb list, he's way down there, and you're like third or something.
Carmen's the lead of the film. He is Don Quixote in it.
That's right.
And he's wonderful in it. So good in it.
Well, wait a minute, though, Carmen, because I was looking at that list of names, and who did I see on there? Joseph Argenziano. Oh, now, I don't know who that is, but is that your brother, your son?
His son. That's my son.
Oh, his, wow.
His initiation into the film business. he's studying now. Yeah, so he's an actor as well. I guess it runs in the family. But who else who played Sancho Panza and he was wonderful? Have you ever heard of Horatio Sanz?
No.
Oh, yes.
From Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, very, very wonderful
he was
actor.
Terrific.
And yeah.
It was just a wonderful adventure to play that. Being on a horse and whatever. The first time I ever did, a horse opera in my life. 50 years I'm an actor, and I finally got on the horse with a sword and played a leading hero.
He was wonderful
in
the film.
Take? What was the take on?
On Don Quixote?
Yeah, on this one.
Well, it was, it's an everlasting, the novel, the book, it's all based on episodes. A couple hundred episodes. There was 12 episodes from the novel that they chose, and a group of screenwriters from USC, along with John Watson, who's the head of the film department down there, wrote a script. And James was also teaching there at the time, so they decided to make a feature instead of a short, which is unusual for college thesis films. And we made a complete feature-length film. And
with like 12 directors as
well? Yeah, there were also eight or nine different directors for each episode, each vignette, each Sally.
Oh, okay.
There was a director as well.
So it was totally in the spirit of the original. This was not a send up.
In the spirit of Cervantes' book. Yeah.
Very good.
Wow. Yeah. And I understand now. I love this guy. Everything he does, Louis Guzman.
Oh, he's amazing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Louis Guzman came to visit. I mean, he as a favor. We all did it as a favor for whatever our love for filmmaking and what that is. I'd like to talk about what Franco's doing in that situation too, and how he's helping young filmmakers and what he's doing in this town. But Louis Guzman, who has a series now, he's an amazing man. He was a social worker all his life in New York, a very dedicated guy. At this point, he's adopted, I think, 5 children. He continually does his social work. He's more of a social activist than an actor. He came out here for a very limited amount of time, 3 or 4 days, and one of the PAs was driving him around, and the PA would take him to various places where people were, those halfway homes and people in need and homeless people. Luis is dedicated to creating a better world.
Oh, I love
and
that.
And he
that.
Walks like he talks. He's truly an exceptional man.
Nice. He seems like that for sure. Now, you are also, talk about James Franco, Carmen.
Yeah.
You are teaching classes.
Tell us about that. It's wonderful. The other film we did was called Actors Anonymous, which is somewhat of a dramatized autobiography of James's experiences in Hollywood, becoming an actor, making that choice. And I played an acting teacher, which kind of resembles, there's a profile of different acting teachers in this town and whatever. And for some reason, they got the idea that possibly I should teach. I said, well, why not? I've been in classrooms for 50 years. I met Eileen at the Actors Studio, where we worked on many plays, many scenes. She's an amazing actress. Mm-hmm. But my whole life, the whole culture I come from is scene study, classrooms, plays. I left home 55 years ago to pursue that. So, yes, now I teach for James Franco's school, which is called Studio 4.
Is that here in LA?
He has one here in the North Hollywood and also one in New York City. And I love what James is trying to do in setting up a new model for this business, possibly allowing new filmmakers and new talent to get in film and be part of the creative process, which we find so difficult to do because of the history of this town and casting and big studios. And most actors don't work. And he's kind of affording a lot of people that opportunity, because you have to have the experience as opposed to waiting for your agent and all that stuff.
That's right. Pioneer your own path. You do have to.
Yes, exactly.
And there's no excuse for it. With technology today, you can make your own web series. You can do your own play. You can edit your own film.
That's right.
You can do so much. So there's no
excuse
for it.
Better than ever for that.
Now let's talk about Jacob Carter / Selmac. Can you, because everybody's waiting for that, can you tell us your favorite episodes playing the role, if you can remember any, of Jacob Carter and, or also Selmac,
yes,
and why
yes.
they were your favorite?
Well, my favorite episode was probably my second one, which was more or less about me being the, you know, Amanda Tapping's father,
Jacob Carter.
Yeah, Jacob Carter. What was her name? Samantha Carter.
Yeah, God, Samantha Carter.
She's a lovely lady. But anyway, the most there was called Tok'ra 2, and in it I played a man, her father, and I apparently was suffering from cancer, and they decided that if they implanted a symbiote, that would cure my cancer, but it would make me half alien as well. And the Tok'ras were a wonderful group of alien folks who believed in peace and illumination and knowledge and all that stuff. And so, yes, I was played a dual character. The show ran 8, 9, 10 years. There's probably a couple hundred episodes. I was recurring. I'm in about 25 or 30 of them. But it was wonderful exploring the relationship between father and daughter. And Amanda's a wonderful actress. And I really enjoyed the character in that, and the transformation of becoming a human into becoming
alien,
a Tok'ra god.
Do you remember that episode, Larry?
I was refreshing. What I was curious about was, because it looked like from the history they had you on playing her, like it was a father daughter, and then later on the Tok'ra hosting came in. Did you, when you took the first job to do just playing her father as a father, did they have that as a plan, or did that, oh look how great he is, oh let's have this idea?
Well,
and do it
I'd
later.
Like to think that way, Larry. I like to think that
way. But, you're welcome.
But so often, you know, it is that they didn't really know if they wanted to this character, but then it became part of the story, the plot, the writers, and and it was terrific, and So
I was just curious when you went and did it the first time. They said, "Now we're going to have you back in a few weeks and do this other whole arc startup."
Yes,
or was there no word of that?
There was no word. I mean, it was like most. I mean, when you have a recurring role in a TV series, Eileen's going through that right now. There's some kind of they really don't know. The show planners, the showrunners are so far ahead, maybe 4 or 5 or 6 episodes, and they have some kind of concept about the season and what they're doing. But there's so much room for an actor or a character or some kind of development of the script in another way. So it does happen like that. And sometimes it's really kind of planned very thoroughly.
Right. But, so you didn't go in with that in mind. That was a spark. You helped add to that spark.
Thank you.
You're a sparker.
I like think so. Yeah.
Sparkler.
Sparkly.
Carmen the Sparkler. Now, I want to ask you a question. We have to know this. Because Albert and I met this guy at the AMC Theater, and he told us about his audition for the role of Han Solo. And we totally think he could have rocked that role, even though it ended up going to Harrison Ford. Richard Dean Anderson.
Oh,
yes, he told us that at the AMC Theater, because I will approach any celebrity. I have no fear. They're just another person to me. And I'm like, so I heard this rumor. Yes, it was true. Yes, he was so bummed out about that too. But it all worked out in the end. But how is it working with Richard Dean Anderson? We love him.
Richard, you know, he has a lot of fun. Whatever Richard does, there's always a sense of humor about it. I think that's
just like Carmen.
Yes,
just like you, Carmen.
Thank you. I think that's what made Stargate SG-1 kind of special, was his take on the character. It was kind of tongue-in-cheek a bit, and that came through, and people just loved that kind of entertainment involved in sci-fi and whatever, you know, the themes of the show were. It was mostly kind of, they were wonderful writers. I'm sure Robert knows Brad, I can't think of Brad's last name, but one of the writers of Stargate. Do you know what I mean?
And I'd like to.
Yeah, but anyway, they're all mythologically based, or we were talking about Joseph Campbell, right. and the hero has a thousand faces. I mean, the archetypes of all these people, good and bad, the shame. It's wonderful territory, sci-fi, to express so much, and that's what excites me about Robert and his vision of the world and the incredible imagery he has and how he describes things and how he works with actors and the maturity he had and the calmness with Eileen and I. You know, Eileen's a very serious actor and you know, it's she has to be handled sometimes because she's very passionate.
We're hearing inside scoop
really?
Now. Woo, Eileen has to be handled. Well, I bet there's a lot of men don't like to handle you, girl.
That word
love it. Now,
is that true, Robert?
No.
Be honest.
No, Robert wants to work with her in the future.
I think I'm sillier than they are.
You are a cutie. Now, Carmen, you have done so many. We're going to finish it with you, and then we're moving on to Eileen, and then Robert, and then Larry. You have been so fortunate in this business. You have done just about every role. But my question to you is, have you ever played your dream role? And if not, what is your dream role?
My next part. No, the next role I get. I think Don Quixote came close to that. But, you know, I'm discovering that, as I get older, playing that role or trying to be that in life. I mean, I'd like to. You reach an age in your life where, you know, you just enjoy the. This is our biggest creative endeavor, is just living sometimes.
Right.
I love teaching now, and I love my history. I love the pursuit of acting all my life. I think I've learned a lot about humanity and myself. It's been very stimulating, very wonderful. I'm very engaged in people and watching people and people watching, and I love that. And I love visiting all those places and that we do within ourselves.
Actors get to do so much.
We were doing a little test shooting of some scenes last night of stuff that will lead to Carmen's dream role, which he'll be playing a mini alien.
Yes,
a mini alien. What do you mean, like a miniature alien?
It's a take on Ant-Man. It's
microbe alien, like a little bitty. But the king of the aliens. You know.
Has that already been shot? Or
no, we just it's just being developed.
Developed. Uh oh.
Sounds like it's fresh on the.
So we need one piece of advice from you, Carmen, before we wrap up with you. What are the best and worst things that you can do while pursuing a career as an actor? Just real short. You don't have to.
The best things are to be enthusiastic about it. Gosh, I remember. If only we can live back, resurrect our past. In retrospect, all the laziness, all the stuff that I went through, I should have been much more driven. But, you know, the whole cultural landscape changed so much. I came to Hollywood and there was no cell phones, no computers, no nothing. Mm-hmm. I remember my agent in an old car taking this big old portfolio of his actors, the people he represented to 20th Century Fox and Paramount and everything. It was almost it was so provincial. It's changed so much.
Mm-hmm.
Just get involved. Get involved with a group, any kind of group that's creative, improvisational group, the Groundlings, small theaters. Find a network, find a community, a family of creative people. That's how it starts. That's what started the group theater in New York, the Actors Studio. Out here, the creative community of filmmakers and people working together. it's so exciting to find your own kind and set up a stage somewhere and do your thing, you know?
There you go.
And it's even easier now with social
media.
Everything you can find online.
Social media. There's poor old Carmen had to hoof it around Hollywood in a car with no air conditioning, no hot chicks to give them inspiration unless they drove by Sunset Boulevard.
I had to it was rough in those days. I tended sheep in Laurel Canyon, you know.
I believe you, Carmen. Now, let's talk real quick to our wonderful Eileen Gruba. Now, Eileen Gruba, exciting, exciting, exciting. She is going to be on the new NBC fall show, Game of Silence. I kind of deserves an applause, but we got Larry over there now. All right, you have to give us manual applause. Yeah, and I believe that was shot in Atlanta. Now, Eileen.
The pilot. We shot the pilot in March in Atlanta, and they've just picked up shooting the series, the episodes now.
Now, Atlanta has become the new hub of casting and shooting projects of all kinds. Is Atlanta the new Hollywood?
I heard there's about 20 shows going there now and a lot of features. You know, they've got a lot of land and a lot of locations, and they are taking a big chunk out of our...
Somebody savvy is in their driver's seat.
Yeah, they're building studios out there, but, you know, actually... I lived in Atlanta before I moved to New York and L.A., and I would love to go back and just live there again because I love the South, and the people are really kind. And in terms of the creative community, I believe they're very open, very much more open than here. I think a lot of people here have gotten very jaded and very closed-minded and a bit stifled by the business, whereas out there it's new and exciting and they're open-minded, and, you know, that makes for great creativity.
Business mind, Eileen. Yes. Is it recommended to get an agent there too? Is it okay to have an agent in a lot of cities? Because I don't know what the rules are. Some say, oh no, you only want one agent or one manager there. But shouldn't you have an agent?
That all depends. I mean, if you have family in Atlanta and you can, and you're there and you can be a local hire, then that will help you to have agents out there. I guess it's very much on a case-by-case situation because, I mean, nowadays it's probably not the smartest move for newer actors to come to L.A. Because you need to go out into the rest of the country, wherever you are. There's something happening. Build your credits there.
Right.
Build your experience there. But if you're living, like, in the South or near Atlanta or you're in North Carolina, Louisiana, you need to just stay put and work there because there's far more opportunities for you there than there will be here because you're going to be up against people with enormous credits out here. And all the movie stars who were movie stars that are now in TV are going down and taking those roles. Big, you know, recurring and guest star actors who have 100 credits to their name are now taking the roles that you think you're going to get up for here, which you're not.
Right.
So I think a lot of people now have the opportunity to build careers in their own hometowns.
I say go to
Atlanta.
Stay
local and build that list on your own there.
That's what I believe.
Go to Atlanta, my Lord.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about Aurora. Who is your character? Aurora, again, who is your character?
And am I allowed to say about my character?
Well, okay, what is your name? And just briefly, what are
some possibilities? Well, I'm the mother of the main character.
Yeah.
So,
Is that hot boy with the black hair?
Yeah.
What is his name?
I want to
say his name because he was so, I don't know. I saw the trailer and I thought, damn, he's really good.
Julian Schaefer.
He is a star in the making for sure, too. Oh,
he's so
really
cute.
Good.
He's so cute and
It's hard, Eileen, right? As an actress, to look at a you're on a green screen, and I mean, he was reactive. He saw what
you know,
happening.
He's been working with Robert for years, and I'll let Robert talk on that because he knows a lot more. They kind of
get prepared, Robert. We're going to be talking about. So tell us about your character on Aurora.
I don't want to say too much because the movie hasn't opened yet, and my character takes an enormous arc that will be a surprise. So I won't say anything that isn't in the trailer.
But it's exciting.
I'm his mother as the world is coming to this.
Well, you were in the Rift, right?
Yes, I was in the Rift as well.
How did you and Robert come together? I'm just curious how that is.
Some friends from the Actors Studio recommended me to them when they were in doing this film, and I guess they had a name actress in their lead role, and something happened, and she had to back out, and so they contacted me, and I was actually in New York at the time shooting another film, and I flew back, and the next day ran on set and met the director. And I remember going, anyone know where the director is? And he's like, that's me. And I'm like, oh, yeah, he was so young then, you know? And I thought, it must be his dad directing. But he was like, no, it's me. And I was just completely taken aback because I watched him for the next few days, and I was like in awe of how he ran a set. And quite honestly, I've rarely seen directors run a set so well and be so good with the actors and know the whole technical and be able to rally a crew and pull it together and never lose his cool no matter what. And I was like, wow, this kid is really exceptional.
So let's ask
you.
You
were, what, 18?
Robert, he was 18 now.
No, he's been making you, Robert, you've been making films since 10. You got your first, you won your first festival award directing at age 12. Where did you get your experience to be so perfect directing, from what I'm hearing, the perfect director?
I think Prodigy.
Where did you know?
I think we can throw
Prodigy. Yes, thank
Prodigy.
You, Larry. Yes, a director, a prodigy.
The
where did you learn?
I wouldn't say that at all.
I knew you wouldn't. Good.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't.
Did you go to school? Did you go to school to learn? Or?
Yeah. I was. I went to film school to. But even before, I knew it was always my life, my dream to become a filmmaker, you know.
He taught himself.
Was it something you saw? Like some people are inspired by a movie they see, or something sparked you? What sparked you as a child?
I mean, there were a couple of movies. I was, I was born in the 90s, so it was just the movies that were coming out then were the first movies with CGI, and all that stuff was happening. So Jurassic Park was a big movie, but kind of the biggest movie that I saw when I was, I think, 9 was Lord of the Rings. And I remember that it was like my Star Wars, you know.
Yeah.
Just this world, you know. I was so excited to see it on screen, and someone actually was able to bring it on screen, and that was so fascinating for me, you know.
Yeah.
So you knew the book ahead of time.
I knew the book, and I knew that there was a cartoon, but I didn't think someone could actually.
But you were still just 8 and 9.
But he started making movies. Yeah. But this is like 10. One little thing that will blow you away. He was making a film a week when he was a kid, a film every week.
They were all crappy, though.
But that's how you learn. But that's how you learn. Who can say they were making a film a week? You know.
Yeah,
so
especially
all digital,
as a kid.
Right?
What's that?
I said all digital, right?
Course.
Yeah. See, this is what's different now.
He started
You're
with
not
his
having to deal with labs and chemicals. I
mean, yeah.
He started with his father's camcorder, and
you can do this now. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. His first star was his dog, right?
I love that. Now you're working on the final touches of Aurora as a director, working on the final touches of a film with the editor, etc. A lot of things happen. What do you feel that you, meaning a director, have to focus on to make the film as perfect as possible?
Oh, that's interesting. Thank you. It's interesting because when you, I also wrote the movie, so you have a very clear vision of what you want the movie to be. So you have like an image on your head that you try to replicate whatever you're doing, whether you're shooting it, whether you're, editing it or doing visual effects. But it's also great to collaborate with, all these creative people like Aileen and Carmen, fantastic actors. And we had, I was so lucky to have so many great people on board of this film because sometimes they have even better ideas, and it's like a constant dialogue, and it's teamwork, it's collaboration. So at the end, everyone wants to, have the best possible movie and get it out there. And, you know, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful process.
So when you're in there editing, it's easier for you, you're saying, because you were the writer, so you know where you want to cut, what you want to see. It's easier.
Well, I mean, I cut the movie myself. Because we didn't have any money for an editor.
Oh, my gosh.
I was gonna say, this is, and when you were talking
he
about
he is a cyborg. I am convinced. He does have no sleep.
How far down the path on the CG and the visual effects did you do hands-on?
So, you know, we have so many visual effects in the movie that I ended up doing some of them myself.
That's what I thought, right.
But I mean, honestly, there were just a couple of shots. The majority of shots were done by all these freelancers.
So I was just wondering how far down this road that you went, because it's obviously to do an indie thing, and you did this at home in Switzerland, right?
Pretty much.
Republic.
And the Czech Republic, right. Yeah. So Europe. So you were telling me a bit ago that you've just been in Los Angeles a couple of months? So shot all this a couple of years ago there. And
yeah.
Are you living here, or are you just here to do work on the film?
Well, right now we're doing more work on the film.
Press junkets. Are you doing press junkets?
Not yet.
Just to kind of get an interest out there. Wait a minute. We did not answer that question. 6.5 million views. How did you do that?
I have no idea. It just blew up. I don't know.
Don't tell me you're in charge of the social media as well. Or did you just post it and it just get shared and shared and shared?
We had the pleasure of... we were fortunate enough to have had a teaser that we did while the Kickstarter campaign was running. We were raising money for the movie. And that trailer, you know, went crazy as well. So
went viral.
Yeah, that one had millions of views as well.
Went viral.
How big was your Kickstarter, and how did it do?
We raised, I think, $56,000.
Oh, and my gosh. And then you raised the rest independently, or something?
Yeah. It kickstarted the project. So
right.
That's great.
Wow. Yeah. Now, last question: what did you want the overall message to be for the film Aurora?
The overall message.
The director message. What did you want us to take away from that? Ideally.
You're not going to spoil it, but did I read that it was described as a romantic sci-fi thriller?
Yeah.
Want me to tell them what it is?
We haven't really framed it yet.
I mean, that's just some guy that saw it that way, you know? But it kind of is. Yeah, I mean, it has romance in it, but it's also science fiction and...
Because we've been talking about the science fiction elements in it, but we haven't talked about the characters, and this is not just a shoot 'em up for 2 hours.
There's so much you can't talk about, right?
It's very human relationships.
It is a very human relationship, yeah.
Now, is Eileen going to be the one in a romantic entanglement? We can't find that out either. Okay, so what do you want the message to be? What do you think we're going to be most excited about? Why would we want to promote this film to others?
Well, I feel like it's a great way to escape the world that we live in and be, you know, immersed in this cinematic experience. And so it has lots of great, world building, and it's 60 years after robot apocalypse happened, so you see all the beautiful Czech Republic, all these ruins, and in the middle of it is this beautiful story, I feel like the message is for everyone else, for everyone themselves to explore, really, because it's a subjective kind of thing. Like, everyone sees something else in the movie, and as long as they
have their own interpretation.
Yeah, exactly.
So when are we going to be able to see this movie?
Very soon, actually. I think...
Is here in L.A., or are you going to start in Europe first?
We don't know yet.
Okay.
But it's like... We've been working on it for so long that it's coming to an end. And
finally, because we're all excited, Robert Kuba.
Thank you
Robert
so much.
Kuba, the next J.J. Abrams, the next
there's
Michael
a lot
Bay.
Of there's a lot of excitement, honestly, in the industry about this project and him. I mean, the industry is eating him up.
Yeah,
they're very excited
from anywhere, and you can't help but get excited when you see that trailer.
Yeah,
yeah, and then to even know that it was done for such a small budget and by someone so young, and then you just go, wow.
See, there's no excuse.
I mean, it's amazing because you watch it and it looks like a huge budget film, doesn't it?
Right.
It really does. You guys got to go to YouTube right now and type in Aurora. Aurora. Also, check out the trailer for his other film called The Rift. Now, to wrap it up, where could we see The Rift? Like, it's got to be on something, right? Is it on Amazon or Hulu or Crackle or...
It's online somewhere, isn't it?
Somewhere.
The
yeah.
side
somewhere.
Of your mind.
Where would we see the whole... Well, would be able to see the whole thing?
He's funny because he made that film when he was 18, and now he's so surpassed that level of filmmaking that now he's like, well, I don't know if
see,
I like that one.
See, we got excited about
but
the trailer.
But I think it's amazing.
Robert, we want to see it. I mean, you have obviously advanced.
It is a short. It's like 25 minutes.
Yeah, we want to see it, though. Will you put it on your website, robertcuba.com? Where can we see it?
I'll
send you a link.
All right. Eileen is in charge of this project.
I don't know where.
Send you a link.
Eileen Gruba. So if anybody wants to see it, go to Eileen Gruba's website and email her. She's going to make sure we all see it. Well, I want to thank everybody for coming on. Carmen, let's see. We got to do the applause meter. Let her. We got to do it. I want to thank everybody for
coming
on.
Thank you, Priscilla.
Thank you, gorgeous Carmen. Man, you're hot and sexy. Woo! My God! Did you get a picture of Carmen? We got to take some pictures because my mother wants to Photoshop herself in a bikini next to him. So, and the wonderful Eileen Gruba.
Thank you, Priscilla.
Make sure you watch her on NBC Game of Silence coming out in the fall.
I think it's going to start in the spring or next year.
Oh, crap.
They don't have a date yet. It's not going to be in the fall. It's going to because they're shooting.
Okay.
It'll be like January or February or.
That's forward to that. Yeah.
Okay. She'll let us know. He'll be on our website, IronGruba.com.
Game of Silence, NBC.
Game of Silence, NBC. And Robert Cuba. Oh, Robert, say something. Oh, wait a minute. Now, you're from the French side of Switzerland, I imagine. Say something in French.
Bonjour, je m'appelle Robert. Je parle français un peu parce que nous avons la langue de l'école, mais je suis très mauvais. Actually, I'm
now
not from
Swiss German.
I'm not from the French side.
He speaks four languages, though.
You speak four languages, too? Yeah. Well, say something in German. I have a huge fan base in Germany. Don't ask me. I don't know why.
Hallo Leute, danke, dass ihr eingeschaltet habt. Yeah.
And say hi to Monica Schieferstein.
Hello, Monica Schaefer.
He has the great accent.
I wanted it with the German accent. And we thank the lovely sci-fi expert, Mr. Larry Nemechek.
Thank you, Larry.
Larry, sci-fi extraordinaire.
It's fun, as always. The thing that was newer than what you said, my Portal 47 boutique deep dive fan experience just launched. I invite everybody to go over to portal47.net.
Portal47.net! Woo! Wow. This man knows everything sci-fi. Yes. Everything. If you go look on his website, you will be blown away by
Plus
this
I
man's
have a
credits. Yeah. Yes! And he plays a rockin' Mr. Dr. McCoy. Were you in the last episode?
No,
of Star
I did the
Trek
first
continues?
Two. I'm staying as a critic.
Oh, you are.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, but I love those people.
I haven't seen that one, but Albert saw it. So.
Just about to debut the fifth episode.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Woo!
World premiere at Salt Lake Comic Con, where I'll be in a couple of weeks.
Oh yeah.
You got any Salt Lakers?
Oh my gosh! Yeah, Star Trek Continues, fantastic show. Well, you know, we actually had before
Michelle.
We had Star Trek Renegades. Who was that? Star Trek Axanar. We had, what is his name? Robert Meyer Burnett. We had him on. He's keeping the Star Trek alive.
Speaking of doing a movie in your laptop, yeah.
Yeah, nice. Fantastic. And we went to see Star Trek Renegades. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. I just want to get it out there real quick. That woman, Adrienne Wilkinson, rocked that part. Of Alexa Singh. My God. You got to check that out, Star Trek Renegades. Thank you, everybody, for
coming.
Thank
you, Priscilla.
Let's all say goodbye.
Goodbye. Thank you.
Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.